Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? I think we're on now. Thank you. It's great to see God's house so full this morning. I'd just like to welcome everybody here, as well as anybody that's worshiping with us right on solid ground. Also, just like to welcome any visitors that are with us. And it's just a beautiful spring morning just to have here. I had to say, I was having a wee laugh this morning because I was going around the house and every single clock was at a different time. So well done for getting here at the right time. And whoever arrives later, I think that's the way it is, isn't it? Later. They'll be okay. They'll join in at the end. Just pray that you all feel God's presence this morning as we worship together and know his blessings today and the week ahead as we go through it. Also, just before we start, there'll be refreshments afterwards in solid ground as well as usual. So if you're not sure where to go to, just follow everybody else. Just before we start, I'd like to special mention to anybody from the BB who was involved with the display last night. I'm sure there was quite a few here were at it, but it was a great night. It was great to see all the boys who had been worked so hard during the year getting prizes, as well as those ones who had worked so hard, and everybody's a winner just being there throughout the year. There's a lot of work goes into it, and well done to the leaders and the helpers who all were involved. I'm sure you'll enjoy the break now whenever the season finishes. There's a couple of wee announcements I'd just like to mention, just to highlight to you. First of all, on Friday night coming, the Abana Choir, the New Life Choir, is coming to the halls here just round beside us. And it's on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And there's no tickets for it, so it's just a pay at the door. So it'd be great to see the halls filled because these guys are travelling about the UK doing these concerts. As I say, it'd be great to see you down at 7 o'clock start for that one. Again, these are all in the announcements, so I'm just highlighting a couple. And also just a wee special mention of the United Appeal, which today was the last day for the contributions, but I'm sure if you bring it in next week, it'll not be turned away. So as I say, if you have forgotten today, don't worry, you can always do it next week. And also, just inside your announcements, if you haven't got them, there's a wee Trinity at prayer update for April, so you can take that home with you as well and keep it for the month. Well, I think that's all the announcements I have this morning. I'd just like to pass over to Scott just to lead the service. Thank you.
Good morning. Wait for it. Here it comes. There it is. There we go.
Good morning. I'm just going to begin by reading just verse 12 of Psalm 86 before we go into our first song. And that says, "I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." So that says, "I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." And the chorus of the song we're going to sing first, the first two lines say, "I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise." We come here not to give our halves, not to give three quarters, not to keep that little bit away from God, but we come here to give our all to God, to give our all to him, to worship him, and to praise his name. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning as we sing our first song, "I Will Worship." Now this song is, This song is split into two parts. So we have men and we have women, the ladies and the men. So it starts with the men who will be singing the first line, which will be, "I will worship." The ladies will then sing in the brackets, "I will worship" after. So the ladies will sing in the brackets and the guys will sing not in the brackets. So when the chorus comes, we all sing together. Does that make sense? So when I sing, the guys sing. When the girls sing, you sing. Yeah, I'll go with that because that doesn't make sense to me. Shall we stand?
"And I will worship,
I will worship
with all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
I will praise you.
All of my strength, I will seek you.
All of my days,
all of my days. I will follow
all of your way,
all your ways.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
I will bow down.
I will bow down.
And hail you as King.
Hail you as King.
I will serve you.
I will serve you.
Give you everything.
Give you everything.
I will lift up.
I will lift up.
My eyes to your throne.
My eyes to your throne.
I will trust you.
I will trust you.
Trust you alone.
Trust in you alone.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Let's bow our heads and let us pray. Lord God, we come here giving you our all. Lord, we come in here as your children. We do not come in here with the worries and the woes of our lives, Lord. Instead, we bring them and we give them to you. Lord, let us not leave anything behind. Let us not keep those hidden things hidden, those secrets a secret, Lord, but let's come before you, let's come to you and reveal our whole selves to you. Unveil ourselves towards you, and those things that we cannot hold any longer, we leave them at the foot of the cross. Let us give us your all. Lord, we thank you for today as we celebrate this day and we celebrate the mothers in our lives, Lord. But not just the mothers, we celebrate all women, friends, siblings, sisters, aunties, whatever it may be, Lord, whatever person has an influence in our lives, we thank you for them. May you bless them and always be with them. May they know your presence and know you're here. Lord, that's what I pray for this congregation today, that may they know your presence. May they feel you here this morning. Know that as they sing, as they worship, as they give up the offerings, Lord, as they sit and listen to the sermon, that you are there with them. You are there with them, right beside them. Holy Spirit, touch the hearts of everyone in this room. May you change our lives. Prepare us for leaving this place, for leaving this building to go out into our community, into our families, to our friends, schools, or workplaces, being able to tell people about you. We thank you, God, for this time we have here. May we always cherish it. And always remember how lucky we are to be able to have it in such freedom, to be able to worship in such peace, and not to be persecuted against, Lord. May we count our blessings. We thank you. So may we dedicate this whole service to you. May all that we do today, in this hour, may all that we do in our lives, Lord, be for you and for you alone, for your glory. We thank you. Amen. We're going to stand once more as we sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Look full in its wonderful face. darkness you see. There's light for us. Look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Or else sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I better now. There we go. I'm not saying all that again. I'm sure you got the gist of it all. We're going to read God's word from Luke chapter 10. This is Jesus as he goes into the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. Now, you boys and girls, do you want to come down to the front before you head off out to K4C? And I'm going to come down and have a wee chat with you this morning. How'd you get here so quick? Huh? You flew down. You were running fast. Good man. Do you ever find that new shoes make you run faster? I still do that with my new shoes. Look, Ruth, how fast I can run. Well, this morning I read a wee story from the Bible, how Jesus came into a house, and there was two sisters living in the house, and one was called Martha, and the other was called Mary. And Martha was the oldest sister, and she was the boss. And she was busy working in the kitchen. But Mary was sitting, listening to Jesus. And what we're going to talk about whenever you go out is how we can tune in to Jesus' voice. And whenever I was thinking about that, I realized you have never tuned anything in your life. Sure you haven't? You don't even know what I'm talking about. Tune in something in. I mean, for example, in the days in which we live, if I want to listen to BBC Radio 2, I do that. Happy Mother's Day, BBC Radio 2. I got it with one thumb. I can hold it here. I can take it around with me. I didn't have to tune it in. You used to have to tune these things in. Like this, look. Wait, you see this? A radio was going to complicate me. A plastic bag was complicating me there. So this is a radio. This is what, don't touch it. Please do not touch the radio. It's not because it's expensive. It's because it's really dirty. And your mothers will have my guts for garters. And to get a radio going, yes, just making it clear there. Oh, here. This is not the one from the kitchen that's dirty. It's the one from the garage that's dirty. Just thought I'd make that clear. Right, you hear that lovely noise? Hey, you can boogie all down to that. That's the radio noise. But what you have to do is you get a wee button, and you have to. Then you have to do this. Look, get the aerial up. That's not radio 2. Oh, I know who that is. Oh, that's not him now. That's a different boy. There was one in there, wasn't there? It's hard work, this, isn't it? Still can't get a good one. There you go, Heather. There's one for you. Wouldn't be one for me. Boys of tears. Isn't that hard work there? Trying to tune in. And there's all of that noise and all that old fistling. Just get your phone, hit a button. How do you switch on how do you find a channel on your TV? Press a button. Or you just watch the TV on your hand now, don't you? Who remembers the days whenever you had an old, probably red, black and white TV? Remember the days when everything was red, grey, black and white back in the 80s? And how you had to get a channel on it was you had to go forward, you had to walk to it. This is a new concept. You had to get up and walk over to it and turn a dial on it, and it was all fuzzy. And then when you couldn't get a signal, you had to change the aerial at the top. When that broke, what did you get? Metal coat hanger, and you got it in. To tune in one of only three TV stations. Only three. And then Channel 4 came along. Wow. Four channels. Wow. Nearly blew my mind. But it was hard to tune these old things in. It's hard to tune in radios. It's easy nowadays with the digital technology. Boom, hit it. It's on the app. It's on your phone, and away you go. But you know, we see tuning in to God. It's a bit more like this than it is like this. This is really easy. Just hit a button, and away you go. And you know, in one sense, it is easy to tune in to God. Whenever we settle down, and last week we talked about slowing down, and today we're talking about tuning into His voice. But you know, there's so many things goes on in the world. There's so many things that keep you busy, isn't there? Fortnite, does that keep you busy? PlayStations and TV programs and playing with toys and fighting with brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of nodding going on there, aye? There's lots of, we know what to call these. You know what we call these things? Distractions. Things that go, that's the fuzzy noise. But we want to tune in to listen to God's voice. And we want you to be able to do that. Because you see, the older you get, this is something like, you see, the older you get, the harder it is to learn things. Your brains are the best brains because they can take in the most information. So it's good to learn these things. And we want you guys to be able to take all the distractions away. So, do you know where you're going now? Where are you going in a minute or two? K4C. And you see, whenever somebody there is speaking to you, that's God speaking to you. It might look like somebody else with a green hoodie on, but that's God speaking to you. You see, if you're in an assembly at school and somebody comes in to talk about God, that is God speaking to you. But you can also go home and, who's got a Bible at home? Yeah. You can open up that Bible, even if it's a picture Bible. Those pictures, God can speak to you through those pictures. So it's good that you take time. Know that when you're going out, God is speaking. So tune in and listen to him. And listen to him at school. Listen to him at home. Maybe when parents or grandparents are reading your Bible story or praying with you. That is all God speaking. And we want you to be able to tune in. But also can tune in whenever we're singing as well. When we sing about God's Bible and we sing about God and the things that he has done, that's also God speaking to us through the songs that we sing. So there's lots of ways that we can tune in, but there's also lots of noise that makes us all go, some of these boys just couldn't understand that. Now, sure you couldn't, boy. Didn't like it. Where's the mommy scowling? Yeah. So we want you to tune in, and the rest of us are going to listen to what God says to us in a wee minute or two. But we're going to sing a song with you first. It's not a secret. It's not a fairy tale. Is that right? Guessed well. Good stuff. Let's get on our feet now and let's sing.
It's not a secret, it's not a fairy tale, it's not made up. Jonah was in a whale for 3 whole days.
1, 2, 3.
The greatest treasure, the work of people wrote, it's in the Bible, where Noah built a boat, and it rained that rains. The rainbow's in the sky to show God's promises are true. The rainbow's in the sky to show the world he's the only way for you every day. It's not a secret, it's not a fairy tale, it's not made up. Jonah was in a whale for 3 whole days.
1, 2, 3.
The greatest treasure, the work of people wrote, it's in the Bible, where Noah built a boat. And it rained that rain. The rainbow's in the sky to show God's promises are true. The rainbow's in the sky to show the world he's the only way. The rainbow's in the sky to show God's promises are true. The rainbow's in the sky to show the world he's the only way for you every day.
Way. Off you go. We're going to continue to worship God now with our offerings. So your tithes and offerings will now be received. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, the day that you have made. We are to rejoice. And we pray, Lord, there is certainly rejoicing in our offering, Lord. And we pray that you would take it, bless it, multiply it, use it for your kingdom. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just last week, the moderator of our General Assembly launched one of a special appeal, which happens from time to time when something around the world requires a bit of financial help. And an appeal has been launched for the results of the cyclone in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. Our denomination have already sent out £60,000. That will have been sent out to Christian Aid and Tear Fund, two organizations that we would know well, and also then to the Central African Presbyterian Church, which is called the Blantyre Synod. We have a really direct connection with that synod out there in Africa. And, you know, whenever we're here and the sun's shining and it's lovely weather, you know, we complain about a heavy day's rain, and we don't really know what it's like to be had to be affected by such a strong weather cycle. And these people don't live in the types of houses that we live in. They don't have the infrastructures that we have. So for them, when this happens, it makes it so much worse. So we, over the next couple of Sundays, will have a receptacle for you to put some offering in there over and above your normal giving. There is a spare envelope in the back of your pack. It's blank. So if you could just use that and write on it the moderator's appeal, then we can use that for gift aid as well. So there's a couple of them in the back. I think they might be yellow. The two at the back anyway, whatever colour they are. Use those, please. Now, if you don't have envelopes and you're here with us and you worship regularly but don't have envelopes, just put the money in or put it in an envelope, any kind of envelope at all, and that will all go towards that fund. This is our opportunity to replenish. So this is what happens. The PCI will send out an amount of money, and then they ask the congregations to replenish that fund so that whenever something happens, the money can go straight away whenever relief is needed. So we're going to pray for that in a wee minute or two. I think it would be good this morning to pray for wee George down in the corner here. The best looking George in the place now. Sorry about that. We only had one before, but now he's the second best looking one. Congratulations, Philip and Lorraine. And we'll just pray God's blessing for you in a wee moment or two. So let's come before God now in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray this morning for all of those millions of peoples whose lives have been affected by the cyclone in Africa. Hundreds of peoples have lost their lives there, Lord God, and that just affects so many families, so many communities. Homes and livelihoods such as they are wiped away. And Lord, we know from previous experiences in places like this, countries that are not as developed, it takes years and years, Lord. And there are still those who are displaced because of previous cyclones and earthquakes and floods and tsunamis, Lord, for years, many years. So, Lord, help us to respond. Call us to respond, Lord. Help us to dig deep, Lord, and be generous in what we can do to help those people practically in our giving. Help us to always remember them in prayer as well, Lord God. And as families, Lord, who meet here, we just thank you for all of the families that are here, Lord, the many generations. We thank you for the newest addition to this church family, George. We pray your blessing upon Philip and Lorraine in this new and exciting development in their family life, Lord, and may they know your blessing. And may we know your blessing, Lord, across the generations as we worship together and serve together and minister together in our organizations. Lord, may we see not generations of people, but brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, of various, lots of variety, Lord, within that. But for all of us who know and love you, we are brothers and sisters together serving you in this place. And we pray, Lord, that we can continue to do that, that you would move amongst us as we worship and build us up, as we take time together for these next, for this period of 21 days where we set aside some things and lift up a book that will take us to your word and to prayer as we focus together, Lord, and bring us then, Lord God, to that time of breaking that fast on Good Friday when we stop and pause and just think about what Jesus was about to do for us. Lord, the sacrifice that he was making for us and the love that drove him to that cross. May that love be something, Lord, that we feel in this place as we love and serve and rejoice and mourn together, Lord, in the midst of all that's going on in this world. And in all of this, may we be your light, your salt in this world, drawing people to a knowledge of you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last week, we were looking at what it meant to slow down, to pray. And now we're looking at the next step. Tuning in to God's voice. Remember we said it was probably the easiest part was slowing down, right? I'm going to take time aside. I'm going to find a place, find a space. I'm going to sit down and be quiet. And then your brain just kicks in and goes into overdrive. And all of that busyness is in your mind then. And I shared a little bit about going for a walk or looking at God's word to help us focus. And in this reading today, Jesus is telling us that focusing, tuning in to God's voice is not just important. Jesus is telling us in this passage that it is vital. He says at the end of the passage, it is the one thing that is needed is to tune in. Tuning in and hearing from God, This is a vital activity because it's from this activity that we go and serve, that we live a life of discipleship. Our discipleship flows from the activity of tuning in to God's voice. We're going to look at what that means now as we turn to the passage, and you might want to open it as we go down through these few verses together as we meet Martha and Mary for the first time in their home in verse 38. Jesus and his disciples are on their way. We're not told where they're going or where they're coming from. At this point in time, we're not even told where the village is. But if we go back, we know the journey that Jesus is on, the way that he is traveling. Because back in chapter 9, verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Some Bibles say Jesus pointed his face towards Jerusalem. In Jesus' journey, in the years of his public ministry, he now knew that this was the point, and he was on his way to the cross when he stops at Mary and Martha's house. And this is a little change in pace in Luke's gospel, if you're reading through it or reading around it after today. Before this, after the infancy narrative, you hear a lot about what Jesus did, his miracles, the places he went. And then from chapter 9 onwards, you will read a lot about what Jesus says. So Luke has brought all of that information together, all the acts of Jesus, and this is now all the words of Jesus. But Jesus is traveling with his people, and they come in here to Martha's house, and she opens up her home. And that might seem quite simple to us, but it has got great significance. The Samaritans, when Jesus set off in verse 51 of chapter 9, he sets off towards Jerusalem, and they come to a Samaritan village, but they don't welcome him. Because he's going to Jerusalem, they just want him to pass on through and not stop at all. And when Jesus sends out the 72, and when he sends out the 12, we can read in those passages that when they go into a home and are welcomed, they're to say, peace upon this house. And if they are welcomed, that peace will return to them as missionaries, as evangelists. And then in chapter 10, verses 10 through to 16, you can read there what it means to reject Jesus' messengers. And you can read in those verses the unbearable judgment that there will be for people who reject the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Martha has opened up her home. So we know that by opening up her home, by showing hospitality, the peace of God has entered her home. There is a special feeling now in her home that she has opened her doors and allowed Jesus to come in. And then we read something that we just read past and think, what's wrong with that? We find then the young sister in verse 39, sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, for the first people who would have read this account, when this gospel was first written down and distributed around the area, when people would have read that, they would have went, Mary was doing what? Because this was not the normal place for a young woman to be sitting at the feet of a teacher. This was not the culture at all. Women were not worthy of instruction. Women were in the kitchen making the tea. And that's maybe what was going on with Martha here. Maybe there was some embarrassment building up. Oh, people will be saying, look at that, she's not even in the kitchen. She's sitting there, that's not the place for her. There could have been very well some of that going on. It was men who sit around and do the talking and do the debating and do the deciding in these days. And we read that Mary's not just sitting at the Lord's feet in verse 39, but she was listening. Now, there's different ways that we can listen, and Mary was not just simply listening. If you had a song on the radio whenever you were in the kitchen or in the garage or in the car or at work or something, and there was a song, you could hear a song, you could listen to a song playing, and you could be singing along with that song, but you're doing something else at the same time. You're still listening to it, but it's just there in the background. But there are times you can take that song and you can just stop everything you're doing and you really just listen to the lyrics. What is this songwriter, this singer of this song, what are they communicating through that song? And if you're musically minded, you can start breaking down the melody and what instruments are doing what, and you can really start digging in to that song holistically, the music and the words. So there's two ways of listening. There's a passive way, letting the song play in the background, or there's an active way of listening, really taking on board everything that's happening, pulling it apart to see how it works and what it's doing. And it is active listening that Mary is taking part in here. She is taking in everything that Jesus is teaching. She's believing everything that Jesus says. She's captivated by the presence and the peace of God. Now, what was Jesus saying? We're not told what he was saying here. There's no specifics. But the message must certainly have been something similar to what he sent out with the 12 and with the 72 when he sent them out. Preach the kingdom of God. Tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ, who I am. And warn those people who reject the gospel. Whenever Jesus was doing it, we read it in the scriptures, when Jesus did it, there was a power and there was an authority that they had never experienced before. And Mary was actively listening to all that Jesus said. And I guess the first question for us this morning, or if you're here and you're an unbeliever, are you actively listening to the gospel today? Whenever you hear the gospel started, is it something like Jesus, and then all you hear is blah, 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 the cross, blah, 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 sin, blah, 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 salvation, blah, 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 blah. You hear the key words, but you're not putting them together. It's just blah, blah in the middle. Ruth used to have a t-shirt that said, "I see your lips moving, but all I hear is blah, blah, blah." I don't know what that was meant to communicate, but not active listening. But are you actively listening to the gospel whenever you hear it? You should, because there is a real problem in your life, and that is sin. And I can tell you how to figure out whether there's sin in your life or not. Think, have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever hurt someone's feelings? Have you ever been nasty or angry? Well, if you have, that's sin in your life. You are not perfectly good, and you cannot be perfectly good. There is a brokenness in your life, and that is real. That brokenness is called sin, and that sin separates you from God who made you. That is real. That separation is real. And then there's eternity, and it is real. And if you're separated in time, you will be separated for all eternity. That's real. But as real as the problem is, there's a real solution, and that is Jesus. Jesus really came to earth and really died for your sin. For your sin. Yes, for lots of people's sin, but for your sin. He loves you so much that he came and he died so that that separation could be fixed. And I meet so many people that think their sin is greater than the power of Jesus to pay for it. Jesus didn't have enough in his pocket to pay for your sin. Some people think they've done such a bad thing, or they're such a bad person, that Jesus could not have possibly died for their sin, that they cannot possibly be forgiven. That's a lie. The problem is real, but so is the solution. And the gospel is something that you have to actively engage with yourself. We were praying at the prayer meeting last Wednesday night. And I was leading in Clocky, and Norman was leading here. And I know in both places, people's names were mentioned out loud. People who we think and we believe, people who we know, that are not yet saved. Those names were spoken out in prayer on Wednesday night. And that might have been your name. If you're here this morning and you're not yet saved, then your name could very well have been prayed out loud at a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And you might think, was it? Right? That might shock you that that's happened. Or you might think, oh, that's lovely that that's happened. But you know, we can pray for you, and we will pray for you, and we will continue to pray for you. But as we pray for you, that will make no difference to your eternal destination. You must actively listen and actively engage with Jesus yourself. We can't save you, or you'd be saved. But our love for you is nothing compared to the love that Jesus has for you. He died on a cross. He took a punishment that you deserved because he loves you so much. The warning that the 72 were to share with people you find in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus says, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So to bring that into today's words, Jesus sent out 72 disciples. I stand here today as a disciple of Jesus Christ, sharing with you the gospel. So yes, it's my voice, but it's the words of Jesus. It's his gospel message. And if you reject these words, you're rejecting Jesus. And by rejecting Jesus, you're rejecting God. Capernaum is a place that was warned in verse 15. Will you be lifted up to the skies? No. You will go down to the depths. See, it was a town that didn't welcome Jesus, didn't welcome the gospel. They rejected. And rejection means the depths. But actively repenting of your sins means that when that day comes for you to leave the scene of time or when Jesus returns, you will be called up into the skies. But only you, in a relationship and in a conversation with God, can decide which one of those two destinations are yours. So tune in, actively listen to the gospel, and actively do something with it. But it's not just unbelievers who need to listen and tune in. Disciples, we must tune in to God's voice. This passage is perhaps the first time that Jesus meets Martha and Mary. But we know from John's gospel that they became really good friends. They had a brother also called Lazarus. So there's Lazarus, there's Martha and Mary, and it's described in verse 5 of John chapter 11 that Jesus loved them. He had a close relationship with these three siblings. So let's return to our passage to two of these siblings to see what God is saying in verse 40. Now what we discover in verse 40 is probably, perhaps, we can't say there's all certainty, but we discover here that Martha is surely a Presbyterian woman. Because the minister has landed in the house, so she has to go and get the tea on. She has to go into the kitchen. Now, there's a wee clue in here as to what's going on. We can't really read it in the English. It says in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So, what we know from this is Martha was going OTT, over the top. Jesus wasn't going to get a cup of tea in his hand and a mug and a biscuit in the other. Well, this was the fine china. This was the visitor's biscuits brought out from the cupboard where the wains can't find them. The scones were being buttered and jammed and the cream was being whipped. Over the top, she was going here. And then the next wee bit, I think, is a wee bit funny. For women this age, they shouldn't be acting this way. It sounds to me like something that I used to say to my parents about my brother, or I've heard our boys saying about each other. It's not fair. She's not helping me. Get her to help me to do this. How many of you have heard that in your house? How many of you said that when you were siblings yourselves? That all sounds a little bit childish. But Martha's got herself in a real pickle here. She's gone over the top with these preparations. She's panicking about the tea, and Jesus just deals with her just ever so tenderly. Martha, Martha. There's only one thing that's needed here. Look, the tea's important. It's important to be hospitable. Show hospitality. But this is time to listen. This is time just to sit and tune in to my voice. Martha's the oldest. It's her house. She's the boss. She knows what it means to offer hospitality. She knows a woman's place and it shouldn't be at Jesus' feet. And Mary should be more like her. She's been trying to train this young Mary, her young sister, up how to be a good woman. So she's all over the place. This whole thing's just wrong for her. But we know that maybe on this occasion that Martha did then still herself and tune in to God's voice. Turn with me over to John chapter 11 to we then see the transformation with Martha, because she has obviously listened to God's voice. The whole of chapter 11 is about the death of Lazarus, their brother, and then Jesus coming to their house and raising him from the dead. But the wee bit we want to tune into is verse 20. So Jesus is on his way. Martha hears that he's coming and she runs out. So she's away from the house, runs away up the road to meet him. Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Martha knows about the resurrection. She has listened to Jesus teaching about the resurrection. She knows that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, and that he is her Savior. In this story, we're told that Mary has chosen what is better, but so has Martha. We just haven't it written in the story here. Mary knew that she needed to be sitting listening to Jesus. Martha needed a wee bit of instruction to come and listen to Jesus. But they did. She has chosen what is better. Now, Jesus is not saying here that we should be constantly sitting listening to him, tuned into him all the time. This is a moment in time. This is just one day in the life of these ladies where Jesus has come into their house. Now is the time to listen to him. Hospitality can wait. It'll come in a wee while. But Mary is doing the best thing right now, we're told, in verse 42. And it will not be taken from her. She's not going to be sent into the kitchen or to do any chores. And just like Mary and Martha, we need to find those times when it's best for us to tune in to God's voice. And it's important because a life of discipleship flows from the activity of tuning in to God's voice. Getting past all the crackles, getting a good clear signal and tuning in. Now I want to zoom out from this room and this house, wherever this house is, and let's just look at the wider context. Let's just blow the gospel up a wee bit and think about it in a wider context, not just the specific moment in these two ladies' lives. Just earlier on, Jesus has sent out in chapter 9, he has sent out 12 disciples. And then in chapter 10, he sends out 72 more. And when we read those stories, we see that the gospel is an activity as well as a story. Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So the gospel requires work to be done. He sent them out ahead of him to the towns and villages where he was about to go. So there's a journey, there's movement, there's a going and a working. And what are they doing? They're driving out demons and curing diseases. That's the work. But they're also then to speak. Speaking is a verb, it's an action. They're speaking the gospel, bringing these two things together. Look at the pattern of how Jesus does it in chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them. So he brought them together and they sat at his feet and they listened. When he sends out the 72 at the beginning of chapter 10, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them. So the 72 gathered around Jesus' feet and they actively listened. They listened, then they went with the gospel in action and in words. And if you're here today and you are a disciple of Jesus, then you have been commanded by Jesus to go and make disciples. Disciples of all nations. We're to teach them obedience to everything that God has commanded us. The tuning in activity directs us to where the Lord is making disciples. One of our prayer points on Wednesday night was that every disciple in this congregation, the congregation here, the congregation in Clochy, that every disciple would know their place, what God wants for you, what He has for you to do when we go on mission, on this specific time of mission for 2020. That is a prayer. It's a congregational mission, an evangelistic mission, a mission that we want to see fulfilling this command to go and make disciples. But this 2020 mission is only a focus time, a 1 6-month period in the lifetime of this church. And that's what we're about all the time. That's what we should be about all the time. That is our purpose. We meet for worship, go out and make disciples. Come back and meet for worship, go back out and make disciples. And you know, on Wednesday night, we were able to pray a prayer of thanks because that is happening in our congregation. Because on Monday night at Christianity Explored, one of the people attending gave their life to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share this with you. This is just my knowledge from the Bible. You see, when that happened, heaven went ballistic over one person. Think of all the billions of people in this world. And over that one person who gave their life to Jesus, heaven went ballistic. The angels were rejoicing. Trumpets, drums, cymbals, whatever there was, went mad. And we find ourselves sitting here with barely a smile on our faces, folks. One soul on Monday was going to hell, but on Monday night, they're now going to heaven. Amen. That is what we're about. That's what we should be about. This shouldn't be a strange thing for us. This should be happening all the time. God is doing it. He wants us to be involved in it. And to do that, He wants us to meet together to pray. We trebled the numbers at our prayer meeting last Wednesday night. And there's room for more. So if you weren't able to make it, we're sorry, but we'll see you next Wednesday night when we meet again. Meeting together to pray has power. When we slow down to pray then, as individuals, we can really have that time where we can tune into God and God can tell us what He wants us to do to be part of His disciple-making mission on the peninsula, in this village of Grey Abbey, in the village of Clochy, and anywhere He would lead us, in between or anywhere else. God is saying to us as a congregation, I want you to go ahead of me into the homes, into the lives of people where I am about to go. Pave the way. Tell them about the gospel so that when that moment is right, I will convict them of their sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will give them the ability to repent of that sin and turn to me and be saved for all eternity. That is the work that God is doing. That is the work that He wants us to be involved in. And God willing, if we all return next week, we're going to look at how we are energized to be at that work all the time, not just for a 6-month mission, but every day of our lives, living in God's presence. We're going to look at that lovely passage, the vine and the branches, being connected to God for His mission of making disciples in the days in which we are living. And I hope that's exciting you as much as it excites me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word, unchanging, powerful, telling us about these two ladies who sat at Your feet and listened to what You had to say. Lord, we pray that we are listening to You today. We are hearing Your voice. You're telling us what You need us to hear. And we pray, Lord, that the disciples in this place will actively respond to Your word. To those who don't know You and love You, Lord, they will not hear the blah, blah, but they will hear Jesus dying for them and inviting them to be part of Your church, Lord, that will be eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is reason for rejoicing, folks, in our congregation. One soul has been saved, and that is great. You know, but we're doing other great work. We just celebrated with the BB last night after a season of just talking to the boys and sharing with parents. There's lots of other ministries that are going on. So let's stand together now and give God the glory. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Let's stand together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. In you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.